You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative, just plain right. Well, welcome to Thursday, which we sometimes refer to as Boomer's least favorite day. But it's still a good day. It's a beautiful day. It's actually cleared up. The temperature's actually pretty mild. Boomer, it's a good day, man.
You know, I'll take it. I'll take the good day. I'll take the good day, the good Thursday when I can get it.
There you go. I mean, Friday Eve.
Yeah. Thursday does have a lot of things going for
it. How's the back doing today?
Back is better today, so that's why I'm enjoying Thursday.
You are mobile.
I am mobile. That's good. I am moving.
Y'all, he has been like such an old man in the studio lately. And I should not laugh because I'm a lot older than he is. Anyway, I'm glad you're feeling better, bud.
Thank you.
All right. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. So this is Thursday, Friday Eve. That means at 3:30 we would normally do Boomer McQueen. Today, we got a proxy. We got a substitute. We got somebody filling in. The lovely McQueen is away, and so it's going to be Boomer and Butters.
Oh, Butters is coming back. I'm excited. I like Butters.
I don't know if we need y'all to team up or not.
It's going to be fun.
All right, so Boomer and Butters today at 3:30 p.m. We'll do that just like we normally do. But, yeah, then we got a whole triple dipper, so hit it, buddy.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, right out the gate, I'm going to kick it into high gear. I'm calling it the ESG gunfight. The ESG gunfight, environmental, social, and governance. Did you know, by the way, that banks are going after gun manufacturers? Yep. So the whole thing about, you know, we're going to have a banking and insurance industry and corporate mindsets that's, you know, politically motivated. Yeah, it doesn't matter what your credit rating it is. It matters what you do. So, yeah, the ESG gunfight, we'll talk about that, number one on the triple dipper. Number two, I'm calling it taking back the truth. And what I'm saying there is there are narratives that are getting thrown at us like nobody's business. I mean, we got everything flying in on the transgender agenda. We got climate change. We got whatever, you name it. The liberals have an agenda, and they scream at us, and we are required to adopt their agenda. Otherwise, we're, you know, a phobic of some type. Well, the truth be told, it is time for us to take back the truth. It's time for us to go ahead and say, yeah, we can see through that, and we're not buying it, and here's why. So anyway, number two on the triple dipper, taking back the truth. And then number three, I'm calling it getting the word out. Getting the word out. Do you know, by the way, and all y'all do, who am I talking to here? But all y'all know that talk radio has been the conservative stronghold in America now for quite some time. Rush Limbaugh pioneered that thing, spawned an entire cottage industry. Here I am, proud to be a part of it now. But there's a movement right now among liberals to try and scoop up a piece of the action, if you will, getting in there and buying up radio stations. In fact, they're buying up conservative radio stations. It's interesting to watch. We're going to see what does it mean for the future of getting the word out. That's number three on the triple dipper, getting the word out. All right, let me jump over to my comments. And this section, by the way, this monologue goes kind of to that segment that I'm doing in a few minutes called Taking Back the Truth. Because earlier this year, that noted sensationalist and former Vice President Al Gore, he made headlines again with some superb climate-based hyperbole. Speaking at the World Economic Forum in Davos, where I'm sure he flew in his private jet, Gore claimed that global warming was boiling the oceans. Boiling the oceans, really? He went on to say, and here's his quote, "We're still putting 162 million tons of greenhouse gas into it every single day, and the accumulated amount is now trapping as much extra heat as would be released by 600,000 Hiroshima-class atomic bombs, exploding every single day on the Earth," Gore said. "That's what's boiling the oceans, creating these atmospheric rivers and rain bombs and sucking the moisture out of the land and creating the droughts and melting the ice and raising the sea level and causing these waves of climate refugees." My gosh. I mean, I think he crammed about as much panic and madness into one breath as any that I have ever seen. But that is Al Gore for you. One climate disaster after another. In 2009, the same Al Gore said the polar ice caps were about to melt off. In 2006, he said that global sea levels were going to rise upwards of 20 feet in the near future. It goes on and on, and I cannot help but wonder, why do they keep giving him a microphone? He's never right. Well, my brother sent me an email yesterday. He had run the numbers, apparently, and he discovered that we had averted yet another apocalypse. I did not realize this. It seems like there's always yet another apocalypse on the horizon. The point of his email was to remind me that Greta Thunberg, you know her, Greta Thunberg, that perpetual oracle of doom who apparently has no parents. No parents at all. I think she was just spawned through some immaculate cataclysm of tiny atoms, and they all came together in the form of a persistently obnoxious teenager who just travels the world without parents, lecturing us on what she thinks she knows. Anyway, at age 15, on June 21st, 2018, exactly 5 years ago yesterday, Greta Thunberg tweeted out that, quote, a top climate scientist is warning that climate change will wipe out all of humanity unless we stop using fossil fuels over the next 5 years. Well, congratulations, my brother said to me in the email. As of today, we have all survived the Greta apocalypse. The Greta apocalypse. I mean, if you're going to be wrong, then go all in, right? And who exactly was her top climate scientist who let Greta in on the secret date of the end of the world? I'm hoping that whoever that dude is no longer working in the field of apocalypse predicting because he is not getting it. But this is nothing new, really. It seems that every few years we have the next great round of end-of-times hand-wringing. And as my brother pointed out in his email, we survived the global cooling despair in the 70s and 80s. We survived acid rain disasters in the 80s and 90s. We survived the Y2K chaos in the year 2000. We survived the Mayan calendar cataclysm of 2012. We survived the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020 through 2022. Yeah, so me thinking right now, I'm saying, let's face it, we are survivors. But the bell, it keeps on tolling, man. It has been tolling for decades with one failed prediction after another. In fact, in 1970, the Green Movement created what we now know as Earth Day as part of a global push for awareness. But awareness was not enough. The year 1970 apparently had a bumper crop of failed disaster predictions unlike like most any year since. If you thought Al Gore was tiresome, you ought to go back and review some of the tripe from 1970. Here's one. In January 1970, Life magazine reported, scientists have solid experimental and theoretical evidence to support the following predictions. In a decade, urban dwellers will have to wear gas masks to survive air pollution. By 1985, air pollution will have reduced the amount of sunlight reaching the earth by one half. Wow. You gotta be kidding me. Then there was another one. Eco-terror monger Paul Ehrlich. He wrote an essay entitled Eco-Catastrophe, in which he said this in 1970, most of the people who are going to die in the great cataclysm in the history of man have already been born. By 1975, some experts feel that food shortages will have escalated the present level of world hunger and starvation into famines of unbelievable proportions. Other experts, more optimistic, think that the ultimate food population collision will not occur until the decade of the 1980s. Well, okay, I remember the 80s pretty well, And that didn't happen. How about this one? Ecologist Kenneth Watt. He warned about a pending ice age in the 1970 speech. He said the world has been chilling sharply for 20 years, he declared. If present trends continue, the world will be about 4 degrees colder for the global mean temperature in 1990, but 11 degrees colder in the year 2000. This is about what it would take to put us into an ice age. Huh. Well, y'all, it is summer in Alabama, and it's getting hotter by the day. Here's one more. I'll just do this one more time. Then there was Wisconsin Democrat Senator Gaylord Nelson. He was the founder of Earth Day, and he said in Look magazine in 1970 that somebody he knew named Dr. S. Dillon Ripley, secretary of the Smithsonian Institute, believes that in 25 years, somewhere between 75 and 80% of all species of living animals will be extinct. Wow! Well, at least he put a name on his so-called expert, but he still got it wrong. Now, let me be clear on something. I want to make sure I say it firmly. I am a believer in being a good steward of what God has given us. I love the outdoors. For years, I backpacked in the Smokies and the Appalachians out in the Rockies. I used to say that I was always happier outdoors. I love a mountain vista. I love an unobstructed view of the waves crashing on a white sandy beach. I haven't decided yet if my favorite sitting spots are on a mountain staring out at vast views or sitting down low by a water's edge and hearing a babbling stream. We should be good stewards, and we should care for the land and do what we can to preserve it. If there is a cleaner way to mine coal, then just show me. If we can save a species from extinction, then I'm all for it. But being a steward, this is an important point, being a steward means that we have dominion over something. You don't steward something if it controls you. You can only steward that which you actually control. But yet, the cult of green demands that we adhere to their tiny God's notions, that the earth is in charge, not us. In my view, the vast majority of alarmism that we see in the environmental movements of the day, whether it be cries of global warming, global cooling, or just plain old so-called climate change, all of those alarmists are bound and determined that we should change everything and adhere to their latest notions. The alarms begin going off in the cult of green, and they are always coupled with demands. Like in 1970, we were told we had to stop driving V8s. We went from the Boss Mustang to the Pinto in a couple of years. Fast forward to today, you will give up your silly fossil fuel burning vehicle and get over your range anxiety and drive an electric vehicle, and you will like it. You will not get a gas stove in your house. You will not have a clothes washer or a dishwasher that gets things clean the first time through the cycle. You will not have a refrigerator that keeps things ultimately cool, and you will not have gas heat, gas hot water, and you certainly can't have a gas grill. Those are all demands, by the way. They are not offered as an opportunity to be a steward. They are not offered as a possibility for you to choose to adopt into your personal plan of good, clean living. No, they are demands. They are requirements. We are told to kneel, and that if we refuse to kneel, that we will all surely die. And they are wrong every single time. Every single time. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah, Greta Thunberg. Always talk about her as being that person who's surely going to get a Nobel Peace Prize for doing something amazing, like scolding the world while she knows next to nothing. Yep, she said that we'd be gone in 5 years, but then look at all the experts who said something similar. And they're always wrong. What they do is they demand to go right along with their cult of green fantasies. I'm just telling you, the apocalypse has been averted once again, and we won't know the time or the place. When it comes, it'll be a surprise. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. All right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, the text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. And my word, the text messages are already coming in. So we'll get on to those here in just a minute. We do have some breaking news. Remember, did you see the news there about the Coast Guard announcement on that submarine?
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
Right. They're saying that they found the debris, right?
Yeah, they found debris first, but they've determined that the debris is actually from the breakup of the small submersible, and that it's been announced that they are saying the crew is definitely dead.
Mm.
So that's a shame. You had, five people aboard? Two that work for the company that owned the submersible, one father and son, and then another guy who's just like a known explorer. But I want to say they had to pay like $250,000 each to be on that thing. Like,
wow,
good Lord. So all that to say, sad day, hate to hear it, but it was, you know, there's a lot of talk out there right now about whether or not this submersible was of the quality that people should have been taking, you know, a 2 mile down dive. I mean, the amount of pressure on the external of that can, good Lord, it's just huge. Have I got a call already? I do. Yeah. Line one. Is that Jeff? Jeff from Indiana. You calling early, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, well, I got to comment on your monologue here, bud.
Yeah, what you got?
Yeah, well, you know, you're talking about all this stuff and everything. Nothing ever comes true. Yeah, what if we do all these things? What's it supposed to do? Is it? I've never heard, you know, we do all these things and this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Best I can understand, they say it maybe slow it down a little bit or whatever, yeah. Give us a little more time.
But, yeah, we bought a day or three. I don't know.
But there's one thing we can do that I can't believe that everybody is not. You know, think about what destroyed the dinosaurs. You know, that was a big, large chunk of rock from outer space.
Okay.
Now we can do something about that. It's been proven that we can divert asteroids and stuff like that. I think we should be putting our money and stuff into space programs that will end basically a doomsday. If we see something coming at us, you know, they can throw some nukes up there and push it out of the way just a degree or so and then miss the Earth. And that's what I don't understand why people aren't behind.
I'm pretty sure I've seen that movie. What? You just described Armageddon with Bruce Willis.
Yeah, and here recently they've landed on a comet, and not too long ago I think they took a direct hit to an asteroid of some kind and just to see if they could move it, and they did. So if you're worried about climate change and everything, I think you should be worried about something we can actually do at this time, and improve that technology so that if we ever do encounter something, we can basically save the Earth from catastrophe and climate change, complete climate change within a day. So, I mean, you know, if you're going to put your money in your mouth behind something, you know, put it behind that. Do some good.
Oh, okay, man. Well, I appreciate the input. And, yeah, you just described one of my favorite movies. So, all right. Hey, Jeff, we're about to go to a break. I'm going to try and read a couple text messages. Appreciate you, bud. Be careful on the road.
Have a good one, Phil.
You too, man. I'm looking over here at the text messages, and they, like, what happened? They just exploded. Oh, thank you very much. You are on the money. Tony from Piedmont, he says, maybe in relation to what just I know what he says. He's talking about the submarine going down. And then he says outer space is earlier. I'm not sure what he means by that. Maybe he meant easier. Brian from Huntsville, I don't know what Brian, you were speaking Greek to me today. Phobihum. What does phobihum even mean? Brian, you're being too cryptic. Leanne from Huntsville. I want my conservative radio, but rest assured, I am one of the many who will never be swayed and will never go stupid. And on banks, buy now with cash and store it in your safe. There you go. Steve from Tennessee says, wouldn't those Al Gore rising oceans sink that Biden magic railroad across the Indian Ocean? Liars all. Yes, indeed, man. Does anybody have any idea what Biden was talking about when he said, "We're gonna build a railroad from Pacific to the Indian Ocean," and everybody just stared at him like, I think the emperor has no clothes. All right, I got more text messages, and we'll jump into the Triple Dipper. You guys, stay tuned. We'll be right back.